When you're helping somebody get delivered from a demon spirit, some kind of spirit that has them bound, you have to be in a hearing relationship with the Lord. You must be able to hear him speak specific discernment, specific wisdom, points of wisdom to that situation at any moment, or that person will never get delivered. Only God knows what's going on in a person like that. Only God knows what spirit is, what has to be done to cast it out, and, you know, what kind of prayer needs to be done, and all that kind of stuff. And if you're not in a hearing relationship, you will never, ever see that person delivered because you can't hear God. The Bible can't tell you how to deliver a person like that. And we've been involved in deliverance for a while, so this is something I'm talking about from experience, right? Another area where you need to be able to hear the Lord's voice clearly is in relationships, and especially a marriage relationship. And I can tell you there's a big difference between a person who is being led by the Bible and the person who is being led by the Spirit in this whole area. The person who's being led by the Bible will always give you the same answer, the same response to every situation regarding marriage and divorce. See, because they have a certain view which is unmovable and unchangeable and is based on certain passages of Scripture. Their position is that there's no grounds for a person to separate or divorce their spouse, except maybe sometimes, if the spouse actually commits adultery. The person being led by the Spirit is not so dogmatic and will give you God's answer in response to each situation. And it's always interesting when I get into conversations with people, I'm not going to get into thinking about divorce and remarriage and all that kind of stuff. I just want to tell you this. Over the last year, I've got four or five different dialogues with people, you know, for weeks at a time over divorce and remarriage. And they always come up with the same answers, the same arguments, the same scriptures. And it's always interesting to see what kind of reaction or argument they give to the following verse when I give it to them. It's in Matthew 19, 29. And it says this, "And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life." Jesus clearly says it's permissible to forsake a wife for his name's sake in that passage. I'm not going to go into a discussion about divorce again, okay? I'm just saying, I know by the Spirit that there are times when God would have a person, man or woman, forsake a marriage to obey and follow him. That's all there's to it. I've seen it. And people can boo-hoo me all they want, and they can quote their key verses, a Bible verse in Matthew and Corinthians and Romans all they want, and they can say, well, I'm being disobedient to the Bible all they want. The fact is, they will never be able to change what Jesus himself said. They can try to explain it away, of course, but either Jesus was plainly contradicting everything he and the apostles taught elsewhere in that regard, or else people are reading their key verses with a natural mind alone, and not with a mind that's under the influence of the Spirit. That was just one example. I'm not going to go into a big thing about divorce here. I'll give you another example, though, of the difference between being led by the Bible and being led by the Spirit. I have a friend. Well, I had a friend. And nobody knows his friend, so you don't have to worry about it. No, you've never even heard of him or anything. I had a friend. He was a friend for a while. He was pretty close to him. He had an 18-year-old son who became a homosexual. And my friend was a strong Christian, but this thing with his son really threw him. And he tried many different ways to help the boy get out of that lifestyle, but nothing worked. Finally, he had to put the boy out of the house. He was causing all kinds of frustration and trouble in the home. And at that point, my friend finally asked me what he should do. He asked my advice. And I went to the Lord and sought an answer for him. And the Lord gave me an answer. And the answer was, which I told him, that homosexuality is a demon spirit. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It's not a problem with the flesh. It's a demonic stronghold. And the only hope for that boy is if he gets to a place where he himself wants to be free from it. If he ever gets to that point, then that spirit can be bound and cast out and he'll be delivered. I said, until then, the only thing you can do is separate yourself from him and pray that God somehow brings him to the place where he gets sick of that kind of lifestyle. Now, God told me to tell him that. Well, that suggestion didn't go over too well with him because, you know, he had already put him out of the house once, and apparently he couldn't bear to see him living on the street, so he took him back. And, you know, there's no way he's going to put him out again. But as things worked out, after a few months, the boy moved out anyway and moved in with his partner, right? And all the spirits he had brought into that home left with him, and there was peace again in that house. However, the boy was granted freedom to come and go as he pleased in that home. And one time I was there having dinner with him, and he came over to use the computer. And when he walked in, you could feel the spirits in him, and those spirits took over that whole house. Took over the whole house. And the Lord revealed to me that my friend was living under this boy's spirits. Now, I didn't know exactly what to tell him to do about it because I had no idea, you know, how he got in that position, how he got that place, what was going on. But I did know that the spirit revealed to me that he was compromising somewhere with that boy, and I knew he had to tell him that he was walking under his son's demons, and they had better do something drastic to get out from under them. Well, that was the beginning of the end of our relationship, all right? My friend couldn't be that ruthless when it comes to his son. He just couldn't do that. I mean, he was willing to fight with him in the flesh over the issue. He was willing to lay down all kinds of rules and regulations that the boy would have to obey if he wanted to be able to come and go as he pleased. But he wasn't willing to separate from him completely and let God deal with him. And the result is he's still living on that boy's spirits today. Now, all the things I said to him during that six-month period came directly from the Spirit of God. I wasn't getting my discernment and my words from the Bible. The Holy Spirit put the words I was to say to him in my mind and in my heart. It was the Spirit that gave me the wisdom and the discernment I needed to understand what was going on at home and to try and help the brother get on top of the situation. Everybody has a free will, so his free will wasn't willing to yield, and the whole situation went south. But this is what I'm talking about when I say that you have to learn to be led by the Spirit. You can't be led by the Bible in these kinds of situations. That's not why God gave us the Bible. That's not its purpose. Now, closely related to the above situation is another whole issue. It's us, the whole issue of us getting free and staying free from the spirits and other people, including other believers. And of course, I can't go into this at this point because most of God's people don't even believe such a situation is possible. They half of them don't even believe that a Christian can have a demon, and none of them believe if you around somebody has a demon, you can come on that demon. So in order to even talk about that, I would have to spend an hour laying some groundwork first before people even listen to what I said, let them accept anything I say about that, okay? But I'm just going to tell you this. This is a reality you're all going to have to face sooner or later if you want to go into perfection. This is a walk you're all going to have to get into sooner or later if you want to reach perfection. Nobody's going to go to perfection with unclean spirits in your life, whether it's their spirits or they're walking under somebody else's spirits. It ain't going to never happen. You must get free from every unclean spirit, just like you've got to get free from the flesh, just like you got to get free from sin. We must get free from every unclean spirit in ourselves and stay free from them, and that includes coming out from anybody around us that has a spirit. But anyway, my point is, when it comes to this kind of thing, again, it's strictly a matter of spiritual discernment. The Spirit of God has to tell you, He has to show you, has to reveal to you supernaturally when you are being affected or when you're being influenced by the spirits and another person. You can't get that from the Bible. Now, all I'm trying to get across tonight is that there is a difference between being led by the Spirit and being led by the Bible. It's not an issue of right or wrong. This is not an issue of right or wrong. It's an issue of good versus best. It's a choice between partial preparation and total preparation for what lies ahead. It's a choice between simply being in the kingdom of God and being a ruler in the kingdom of God. Now listen, my friends, when Jesus returns, the responsibility for setting this creation free and ruling over it in wisdom and justice is going to be placed on the shoulders of the sons of God. It's going to be placed on your shoulders and mine if we're ready, if we've been prepared. But if you haven't learned how to be led by the Spirit in dealing with people, in dealing with situations, in dealing with demon spirits, if you haven't learned how to be led by the Spirit in confronting nasty and unpleasant situations, you're never going to be fit to rule and reign in the coming kingdom. There's going to be a lot of messes to clean up. There's going to be a lot of situations to straighten out when the Lord returns and the judgment falls and His judgment falls on this planet. We must be learning how to deal with these kinds of things now. The time to learn how to be led by the Spirit is now, okay? I don't know how to explain it any better than to simply say that if we don't get past being led by the Bible and learn to really be led by the Spirit, we will never reach spiritual maturity. We'll remain either a child in the Spirit or a young person in the Spirit. We'll never reach spiritual maturity. So I just encourage everybody to go to God and ask Him to make it real, what I said to you. If it's not real, you know, just time to you, there's a difference between following the Bible and following the Spirit. Just ask God to make it real and show you the difference and show you how to move from one to the other. It's important that we move from being led by the Bible to being led by the Spirit. That's all there is to it. Being led by the Bible is not wrong, but there's something better. And there's going to come a time when being led by the Bible ain't going to cut it. I'm sorry. It ain't going to cut it. I know that's blasphemy to those who worship the Bible, but it's the truth. And I'll tell you, it might be coming sooner than you think. I mean, it's very possible 2 years from now, the Bible might be banned in this country. What are you going to do if you don't have a Bible anymore? Can you serve God and live a victorious life without the Bible? I'm just asking. We're coming to this very serious persecution here very soon. And they may take our Bibles. Can you survive? Can you walk with God? Can you stay in the faith? Can you keep growing? Can you go into perfection without a Bible? Are you in a hearing relationship with Jesus? Can you go into perfection without listening to me every week? Without listening to whoever else you listen to every week? Can you be alone and never listen to anybody and still go on with God? See, it's time to grow up, people. I'm not saying you're all a bunch of babies. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just saying, wherever we're at, wherever you think you're at, it's time to keep growing. Keep growing, keep growing. It's time to move on because the time's getting short and we've got to get to spiritual maturity, perfection, okay? Okay, that was basically the thrust of my word there, okay? My bird tonight. I see so many people, they're being led by the Bible. They don't know the difference. They really don't. And they're being led by preachers who are being led by the Bible. And they don't know the difference by that either. So I just encourage everybody to just, you don't have to believe what I'm saying off the top of your head. Don't accept what I'm saying. Go to the Lord about it. Ask him to give you a witness if it's true or not. If you get a witness it's true, then ask him to make it real to you and show you how. Make sure they were following the Spirit. Jesus Christ is a person. He's not a page. He's not a verse. He's a person. He wants to speak to us day and night. Every minute of every day he can speak to us if we have the capacity to hear him. But so few people have the capacity for whatever reason, whether in the flesh, lots of reasons why you can't hear the Lord, but I'm just saying. He's speaking to us all the time. There's no reason not to be in a hearing relationship with your Lord. No reason whatsoever. Okay? If you guys have anything to say or share or ask or anything about it, go right ahead. Take the mic. Step right up. Don't be shy. There was a question up there. Let me see. Somebody had a question. I didn't get it. Hang on a second. Or was it a statement? Was that a statement? Let me see. K-Men's says, but there's a danger of people abusing the saying, God told me. And most of the time, what God told them does not love the scripture. Some of those statements are way off. Amen. That's true, K-Men. That is a danger. There's no doubt about it. And there's a lot of false prophets, a lot of false teachers doing exactly that. But is that going to keep you from hearing God yourself? Because someone else is deceived? You're not going to walk that way? Good, good. Let me tell you this. Nothing I believe and nothing I teach goes against the scripture. There may be things that I believe that I don't think you can place your finger on a scripture or verse for it, what we're doing, okay? So there's a difference here between saying something you can't find in the Bible and saying something that's directly opposed to the Bible, directly contradicts something in the Bible, directly contradicts a passage, a word, a principle, whatever. The Bible does not contain everything you need to live. I'm sorry. There's lots of questions the Bible doesn't answer. And it wasn't meant to answer every question. That's not why God gave us the Bible. I think we've discussed this before in this room. There were certain things that I forget what it was, cremation. Somebody had a question about cremation one time. Is it God's will that we cremate each other? Or, if you die, cremate your husband, cremate your wife. Is that biblical or not? You can't find anything in the Bible that supports or doesn't support the idea of cremation. It has to be strictly between you and God. And there's lots of things like that in life. Jesus wants to guide you. Jesus himself wants to guide you, all right? He may use the Bible to guide you. He may use circumstances to guide you. He may just wants to guide you, and he wants to be the king of how he guides you. He doesn't want you telling him. He has to guide you through the scripture, okay? Go ahead. You go for it, brother.
I'm glad that I could be back in the fellowship again. We had a modem problem with our computer, and so we got that fixed timely. But, Dan, I want to make a point. I do want to give my testimony, but not today. It's kind of a long one, and so I don't want to get everybody off topic. But more importantly, I hope I can change the topic a little bit because something just really blessed me. I know that how Calvinism has really been detrimental to so many believers that are in the religious system as well as outside that system. And I learned something this week that just had such a major impact. I just have to share it if you don't mind. And what it is, some of you that might not know the subtleties of Calvinism, well, I'm sorry, but those who do, you can understand why this was so powerful for me. And well, let me go ahead and share what it is. Okay, a little louder. I'll talk a little louder. So what it was that... when I was attending a church that was Calvinistic in its teaching, they had a, once the teaching came up, that when are the believers regenerated, or the unbelievers regenerated? Are you regenerated before you're justified? Are you regenerated and justified at the same time? And the issue was clear in this book I'm reading right now. And it said there that, you know, God is clear in his word where he says in Romans 1:16, where Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek." I don't have a Bible in front, I'm just paraphrasing, quoting it. But anyway, Paul clearly said that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But Calvinism, the Calvinists teach that you are born again, it's a sovereign act of God, and the only ones who are born again are those who he chose to make born again, and he chose them from the foundation of the world. And he calls those the elect. And then there's a group of people who are unregenerate, who are the unelect, who will never be born again. So follow where their faulty reasoning is. So here you got the unregenerate. And they're defined by the Calvinists as being the unelect and the elect. The gospel has no meaning to either group. That is the subcategory of the unregenerate. Because if you are the unelect, the gospel has no power to open your eyes and save you. If you are the elect, well, you're first born again, and then once you're born again, you are in a state of being born again and not saved, because you have to then be given faith by God to be justified. So here's the gospel that Paul clearly said earlier on in Romans, and these Calvinists love to use Romans to try to preach on the sovereignty of God, especially when they get to Romans 8 and 9. Here they are. They overlook the whole teaching that Paul starts off in Romans 1:16, where he says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. And they say that the gospel is not powerful enough to save the elect, unregenerate, and it doesn't have no impact on those who are the elect, who are unregenerate, because God first has to make them born again before they can even hear it and receive it, because they're spiritually dead. That was just so powerful to me, because other arguments I've used with the Calvinists, in the sense that how unjust and how unfair would a God be that would, from eternity past, choose to pass over or choose to not save certain people and choose to save others. And I would always be met with the fact that the Calvinists would say, "Well, who are you to judge God?" They would then point to, "Oh man, who are you to question God?" with Romans 9. But this new argument is such a more powerful argument. That's what I want to share. I hope there's people who are blessed by it. God bless everybody. And thanks for this teaching today. It was, once again, fantastic.
Yeah, that's Calvin. That's exactly right, brother. Calvin says you got to be born again before you can be born again. That's the long and short of it. God makes you born again so you can choose to be born again. Because your will is so dead, a dead man can't choose anything, they say. A dead man can't choose life. A dead man can't choose God. God has to make you alive before you can even choose. So he has to regenerate you before you can even choose to be born again. Such cockamamie garbage. You know what? I've been talking about people who are unregenerate, who read the Bible. Calvin was one of them. That's why his doctrine is so screwed up. He's such a mess. He's an unregenerate man who is a brilliant biblical scholar. And that's why he's so dead wrong on all those issues. His fundamental view of God, his fundamental view of salvation, everything, the will of man, the free will, everything is dead, dead wrong, because he was an unregenerate man who had the ability to read the Bible in natural, to grasp biblical truths in natural. He made a whole theology out of his natural brain, and it was all wrong. Anyway, thanks for sharing, you. I'm glad the Lord showed you that. That's right. Okay, wait a minute. I saw something else up here. Oh, Sheila's ears. Says, "I understand what you're saying, Brother Dan, but I know many of the apostate church that have been shocked to hear that message. They take offense." I got a question, she who has ears. What would they take offense at? I don't understand exactly what you're saying they'd take offense at. Can you give me a clue of exactly what you're talking about there? Okay, wait a minute. Oh, she's going to take the mic. There you go. You got the mic, sister. Go ahead.
I was just saying that, you know, there's a lot of people within the church that would take offense, not, you know, because, well, it's just because they don't have the ears to hear. They've been so brainwashed by what they have been told by the church system, by their pastors. They believe everything hook, line, and sinker. And then if they would have wandered into this room and heard you speak tonight, you know, I can imagine some of the people that I know that would have been shocked and would have been saying blasphemy, and I totally agree with you, Brother Dan, but I know people out there that would not have understood what you said. That's all I had.
Okay, thanks for clearing that up. I appreciate it. Well, invite all your friends that are going to get shocked and offensive. Invite them all in so they can get shocked. I need more enemies. I don't have enough enemies yet. What can I say? We got Texas. Go ahead, Texas.
Dan, I was I had this scripture, and I you know, this comment about the senses, and I wanted to share it with you. But one of the things that we don't understand about the people that are still in the churches, they're being taught not to hear from God. That's what the pastor's for. The pastor will speak to them and everything that they need to know. And so the churches are actually filled. If there's any Christians in there at all, at the best, they're probably baby Christians. Or those who are finally allowing God to speak to them and bringing them outside of what the pastors have been indoctrinating them in to hear from God. They're starting to hear from God, and that's what brings them out. So don't be shocked that they're still in the church, and don't be shocked that they would be shocked at what we say, because they're baby Christians. But there's a scripture that really confirms what you were saying, Dan. It says that in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, that's an interesting word in there. I hadn't seen it before tonight, but the word that's used there is they have their senses exercised, which is what you were talking about. And the strong meat belongs to them are full age. I was in the church for 30 years before I came out. I wasn't a full age, and I'm an old man. So what does that full age mean? It means that you're someone that's growing in the things of God. That's what a full age is, one who's growing up in the knowledge of God's will for their life, growing up in the grace, through the grace of Jesus Christ, into the full measure of the man of Christ. So this is a strong word, but it's a needed word. And we need to hear from the Spirit of God, because He will direct our lives. This week, you know, I woke up in the one morning and I had a word from the Lord. And I shared it with my wife, and she gave me the scripture reference for it. And it was direction on how we, it was actually direction to me. We can get so comfortable living with sin, living with those spirits that want to rule us, that we just allow them to have their way. And what you're doing, Dan, is you're stirring us up to be warriors against those things in our life first. How are we going to be any good out there until we get the victory right where we live, right in our own life? So you're called to bring forth a mature church of believers who are walking in perfection. And that's another thing. When I hear somebody speak on perfection, they bring up that word maturity, complete, fullness, all of that. But God says, be ye perfect as I am perfect. So if God's saying, be mature like I'm being mature, how are you going to be mature like God? It's impossible. And that message of perfection is a real challenge. How are you going to get there? You got to hear from God. You've got to be walking in the Spirit. You've got to understand what the Spirit of the Lord is saying right now to you in every situation. That's how you go into perfection. We spend too much time dilly-dallying around with the things of God. And I'm speaking about myself. I'm confessing to my brothers and sisters in this room that it's time to put away those childish things and grow up in the things of God. And I appreciate this message. And I'm thankful for all the testimonies we heard last week. Those are encouragement to the body. And the body is being built up to know the Lord Jesus as a valiant warrior. And so, praise God, I'm tired of being a wet noodle. I'm tired of being, Dan, I probably make you sick, some of the things I come up with. But I'll tell you what, I'm willing to be told the truth that'll set me free and to walk in what God's called me to. So, praise God. I love you. God bless you. I'm turning the mic back to you.
That's a good word, Harold. Good word. And no, I'll never get sick of you. Go ahead, you got the mic, bro.
Okay, I guess you guys can hear me. Yeah, I wanted to relate something, Dan, to your message of the day. Also, when you were saying that we can't just rely on God's word, we have to be led by the Spirit of God. And I just remembered of a circumstance and situation I had this week where God put the words on my heart to tell to this patient that I was dealing with. And this, you know, I'm not going to violate any HIPAA laws or anything like that, but you guys don't know who I'm talking about. But what happened, this person came in and she was saying that she had worried all her life. She always been worried. And she wanted me to give her a medication that she's been on for years. She's kind of a new patient to me. So whenever I get circumstances like that situation, especially if they go ahead and say that they're Christians, I don't go ahead and qualify whether they're in the system, out of the system, babies or not. But once they say they're Christians, I feel free that I can go ahead and share God's word with them. So what happened was something that was pretty interesting. What happened was, okay, I hope you got some of the mess I was saying. But anyway, what happened in that circumstance, the lady said, well, I've been worried all my life. And I said, well, what are you afraid of? And she said, well, I was taught to be fearful. And she said, my mom, from the time I was young, was fearful. She taught me to be fearful. And I said, well, you said you go to church. So what is the answer to your fears? I said, Scripture clearly says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power. And I said that what you need is faith. I said, as long as you remain fearful, then you're going to go on, and these symptoms that you're complaining about today of the worry, the anxiety, the anger, the depression, the stress, is only going to magnify. In fact, the anger is going to become more manifest. And I said, I deal with a lot of people who have these symptoms manifest, and every last one of them, the cause of it is fear. I said, the only treatment is faith. You have to have faith, not in anything else but God. And I said, faith comes by hearing God's word. And she said, well, where do you go to church? And I said, well, you know, that's a long story, but I don't go to any man-made churches. She said, why not? I said, because there's too many fearful people there. I said, there's fearful people in the pulpit, and there's fearful people in the pews. And I said, how can you get faith from fearful people? Faith comes from hearing the word of God. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you guys today, and you should have saw the look on her face. Because I reinforced the fact that she was fearful and that she needed to know God, and she was attending a place where she could not get faith because they all are fearful, and she didn't know what to say. Anyway, praise God.
Okay, thanks for sharing, Hugh. That was a good testimony. Anybody else have anything to share? Oh, go ahead, Kim. You got the mic, sister.
Well, I just wanted to confirm what you said, Hugh. What you said to that woman was 100% right, because I have that same problem, and the Lord helped me overcome that. And you were 100% right in what you told her, so I just wanted to confirm you in that. And just beside that, what you said, Dan, made me think of something that happened this week. I'm lazy, and I'll admit it. You know, I'm lazy, and I admitted it to the Lord this week, and... You're welcome, Hugh. Like in the mornings, I have to get up early and go to work early in the mornings, and most of the time I hit the snooze button and stay in bed for a long time. Even though I feel the Lord displeased with me about it, I just kept doing it, and the Lord would make me uncomfortable, but I would still lay there and sleep. And then this last Thursday, I think it was Thursday, I did that, and I got up at the last minute and. You know, zoom the kids off to the babysitter. You know, I usually speed to the babysitter and speed back. And that morning, there was a policeman sitting in the parking lot of this farmhouse out of the middle of nowhere. I mean, like, where you would never see a policeman. And so I saw him, and he had one of those things that they point at you to find out how fast you're going. And he didn't come after me, but, yeah, I slowed down, and then I knew on the way back I better be careful. So on the way back, he had his car pointed the other way to where he could have just come right after me if I had been speeding, and had that thing pointed at the highway, and of course I slowed down on the way back, and went to work, and had the most horrible day that I've had in the longest time. You know, I've had a lot of things to overcome at work, and the Lord has really helped me. After I quit trying to do everything you know, rely on my own wisdom and my own strength and everything, and called on the Lord and just leaned on him and asked him to help me and told him that I couldn't do it. And that was a pride issue I'd overcome too, and asking the Lord to help me. Gradually I've gotten better at work and things have been going more smoothly, and haven't been a lot of problems. But this day, oh my, that day when I got up late, it was just the most horrible day I had in a long time. So the next morning, I was up. When the alarm clock went off at 4 o'clock, I was up. And that's not anything that, you know, I wasn't reading the Bible one day and God said, you know, I'm displeased with you, you sleep in, you know, I want you to get up, you're lazy. That was an experience that I had, and the Lord, without even really saying a word, just, you know, he does speak to us through words, but that day he spoke to me through the circumstances, and he wasn't there to... Not that he wasn't there, but usually he helps me at work. But that day, because I think he was finally, instead of just putting his finger on that thing, he was finally putting his fist down on the situation about me sleeping in as long as I can and getting up and running to work. And I think he was letting me know that if I don't, you know, overcome in that area, he's not going to, you know, help me out in all these other areas, you know, unless I start obeying him in that area. He's really getting serious about this this thing that, you know, he's had his finger on for a long time, and he wants me to obey him. So if I want the Lord's cooperation, you know, I'm going to have to obey him in this area. So that's just one thing, when you talk about being led by the Spirit, that how the Lord dealt with me this week. And so that's it.
Amen, Kim. All right, thanks for sharing. Looks like Rich got his hand. Go ahead, Rich. You got the mic.
Praise the Lord. I thank God for this message tonight. One thing that the Lord is showing me is that when Jesus was led into the wilderness, he was tempted. And what was it that he used to come against those temptations? It was the word of the Lord. I'd like to read Ephesians 6:11. It's about putting on the armor of God, and I think in this hour when we are led, it's we need to be those warriors that Dan is talking about. And as we do that, we have to stand against the enemy in every area of our life. We have to put on the full armor of God. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore we take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I think as warriors, this is what we need to be doing. We need to recognize and get rid of the enemy that comes against us in our lives, that keeps us from moving in and growing by his Spirit. We need to be led by the Lord and come against these principalities and powers, come against these spirits that would hold us back from moving into what the Lord wants us to move into. Anyhow, I praise the Lord for this message tonight, Daniel. Thank you. It's a very timely message. Very timely. Because it's going to help us move into perfection and sinlessness. We need to also remember that we need to battle that. We need to be led by the Spirit in everything that we do. And not be wimps, but we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen.
Amen, Rich. God bless you. Thanks for sharing, bro. That's right. Good word. Thanks for sharing. Good. Listen, what I was going to say was this. It's a shame that I had to give a message like this tonight. It's a shame that you got to tell people that there's something higher than just being led to the Bible. That shouldn't be, that you shouldn't have to say things like that. It's terrible that I even have to say something like that. You know, that shows a sorry state of the church, how low it sunk from the early glory of the early church, where the scripture had its rightful place. You know, they're being led by the Spirit, and the scripture has proper place, and you don't have to straighten all that stuff out. It shows how low we've sunk. The people are now worshiping the scripture, worshiping the Bible, exalting the Bible above the Lord Jesus, following its pages and not following the Lord. It's terrible that anybody has to even bring that out and speak on that, but it's the way it is. Well, I'm glad you all shared. All of you guys have shared. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I always appreciate when you share. You know that. It says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. There's a lot of stuff that's going to burn up. I don't want my life to burn up. I want everything in my life to count for Jesus. All right? Okay, well, if nobody has anything, we'll shut her down tonight. Anybody else? Last call. Last call. All right. Yeah, I'll have you guys listen to it again. I'll boost what you said. She can hear it again. You know, I'll boost his signal so you can hear what he said, for those of you who didn't hear it. I'll put the notes up. It'll be up tomorrow. And if you want to check it out again, check it out again. It'll be up all week. And God bless you all for coming. Thanks for sharing again. I really appreciate it. And we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.